أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
In relation to the life and character of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, his humility and meekness were being discussed, and I will continue mentioning it today as well. What was the standard of the humility of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him? He would express this by giving small examples. For example, Yahya bin Abi Kasir relates that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stated that I eat just as a servant eats, and I sit just as a servant sits. For I too am only a servant. Thus, in other words, the arrogance, self-conceit, and ostentation of chiefs and rulers are not present within me. In another narration, Hazrat Anas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu relates that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, had a she-camel named Azba, and she was so fast that no other camel could overtake her. On one occasion, a Bedouin came riding a young camel of his, and in the race, his camel overtook Azba. Upon this, the Muslims were displeased at the fact that Azba had been left behind and that he had overtaken her. Even if his camel was going to get ahead, then he should have stopped his camel, since it was the camel of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, ahead. However, in response to their conduct, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stated that it is the right of Allah that whatever He raises in this world, He also causes it to decline. In other words, there is no reason, therefore, to get angry, as this is the practice of Allah the Almighty, whereby there is always highs and lows. Ordinary people would become jealous over such a matter. However, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, always had the being of God Almighty in sight, and he only desired to demonstrate his superiority to the world. With what humility does he say that, why do you need to get angry over this? There is no need for this, as this only manifests the superiority of Allah the Almighty. Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu relates another example of his humility. He says that once I sought permission from the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, to perform Umrah. He graciously granted me permission and then said that, O my brother, do not forget me in your prayers. Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu states that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, uttered such words that even if I had been given the entire world in exchange for them, it would not have given me such happiness. Allah the Almighty has made it essential to invoke blessings, i.e. durood, upon the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. And he has also made it an essential means for the acceptance of prayers. Yet, such was the height of his humility that he was asking one of his followers to pray for him. Likewise, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, did not feel ashamed in performing any task. He would perform even the smallest of tasks by himself in order to demonstrate it to others and teach them. Thus, in a narration, Hazrat Abu Sayyid Khudri radiyallahu ta'ala anhu relates that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, passed by a boy who was skinning a goat. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, moved him aside and said, "A step back, so that I may show you the proper method, for it appears to me that you are not skilled in skinning." The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, then placed his hand between the skin and the flesh and pushed his hand inside until his whole arm right up to his shoulder was no longer visible. He then said that this is how it should be done. "Young man, skin it in this manner." Thus the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, did all his work and also taught him at the same time. Similarly, there is another narration demonstrating how the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, in all humility, would personally carry out tasks for others. It is narrated by the daughter of Hazrat Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala anhu that she came to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, with a goat to be milked. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, tied the goat and milked it himself. He then said to her that, "Bring me your large vessel." She had already brought a container, but the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said that, "No, bring a larger vessel than this." And so she bought a larger vessel, and the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, milked the goat into it until it became full. He then said, "A drink from it yourselves, and also give some of it to your neighbors." Certainly it would appear that through the blessings of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him's prayer, the milk increased in an extraordinary manner. Thus he instructed her to share this blessing with others as well, as twice the usual amount of milk was obtained from the goat. There are also examples of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him's humility and lofty moral character in the matter of greeting others and sitting in gatherings. Hazrat Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu relates that when a person came before the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, he would shake hands with him, and he would not withdraw his hand until the other person himself withdrew his hand first. And nor would the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, turn his blessed face away from the person until that person himself turned away first. And he was never seen sitting in such a way that his knees were extended before his companion. Another narration from Hazrat Abu Musanna al-Amluki states that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, as well as the prophets before him, would walk with the support of a staff and lean upon it. This staff was not used to create awe or display greatness. Rather, it was a symbol of humility and meekness before Allah the Almighty. And the humility of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, surpassed that of all others. Then the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, would also advise people towards humility in a most wise and profound manner. Accordingly, Ibn Hazm narrates that once there arose a dispute of pride and boasting between camel owners and goat owners. Each group was boasting over the other. The camel owners, i.e. those possessing many camels, would say that, "We are greater than you and possess more wealth and means." And the goat owners, in response, claimed superiority for themselves. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, happened to come there whilst this discussion and rivalry was taking place. And he stated that Moses was sent as a prophet and he used to herd goats. David was sent as a prophet as well, and he also used to herd goats. And I too have been sent as a prophet, and I also used to herd the goats of my family at Ajiyad. And so, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, advised those who were boasting, and at the same time comforted those over whom superiority was being asserted, and who were being looked down upon because they tended goats. The place mentioned by the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, i.e. Ajiyad, is an area near Safa in Mecca, also known as Jiyad. There was no pride whatsoever in the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. He would meet even the poor with humility and would comfort and honor them. Hazrat Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that among the Bedouins, i.e. the villagers, there was a man named Zahir. He would often bring gifts from the countryside for the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, i.e. various items typical of village life. And whenever he prepared to leave, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, would also send him back with plentiful provisions and goods. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, would say that Zahir is our friend from the desert, i.e. the villager, and we are his friends from the city. One day, Zahir was selling some goods in the marketplace when the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, came up behind him and embraced him from behind against his chest. As Zahir could not see who it was, and so he said, "But who is this? Let me go." But when he turned and recognized the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, he began pressing his back affectionately against the blessed chest of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Then the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, began saying that who will buy this servant? As Zahir replied that, "O Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, then you will find me to be a worthless bargain, for who would buy me?" Upon this, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said that, "No, in the sight of Allah you are not worthless." Or he said that, "In the sight of Allah you are very precious." Whilst mentioning this same incident in one of his sermons, Hazrat Muslim Aud radiallahu ta'ala explained it in the following manner, that one of the companions of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, had a congenital defect, due to which he was extremely unattractive in appearance. In other words, he was not very attractive, and he was also exceedingly poor. His body and clothes were covered in dust, and in that very condition, drenched in sweat, he was in the marketplace selling some goods for someone. However, that companion possessed something of immense value in the eyes of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, held him in great esteem. And at that moment, whilst the companion himself likely felt disgusted by his own condition, thinking that he was soaked in sweat and covered in dust, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, approached him from behind, and in a playful manner like one plays with children, covered his eyes with his hands. The companion felt the hands and realized that they belonged to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, because the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him's body had no or very little hair and was exceptionally soft. And so, upon recognizing him, he too lovingly began rubbing his body against the blessed body of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, causing the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him's clothes and body also to become soiled. Yet the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, did not mind in the slightest. Then the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, placed his hand upon him and said, "Now this is my servant. Is there anyone who will buy him?" At this, the companion became emotional and said, "O my beloved master, this is a useless and valueless thing. Who would buy him?" The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, replied, "Never. In the sight of Allah the Almighty, he is of immense worth." Whilst describing the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him's lofty morals, his humility, and his noble character whilst dealing with people, and his beautiful appearance, Hazrat Hassan bin Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu once said that, "I asked my maternal uncle, Hind bin Abi Hala, about the blessed appearance of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. And he used to describe the appearance of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, in great detail. And I wished that he would mention some of it before me." Thus, he related that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, possessed an awe-inspiring and beautiful appearance. His blessed countenance would shine like the full moon on the 14th night. Then he narrated the entire hadith in detail, describing everything. Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that for some time I concealed this narration from Hazrat Hussein, i.e. the information he had received from his uncle. And later I narrated it to him, but discovered that he had already surpassed me in this matter, and had asked these same questions before I did. In fact, I also learned that he had asked his father about the coming and going of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, within the home, and about his appearance, and has not left any detail unasked. Hazrat Imam Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala anhu states that I asked my father about the manner in which the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, would enter his home. The previous discussions concerned his life outside, but regarding the matters inside the home, when he asked Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he replied that when the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, would enter his home, he would divide his time into three portions. He dedicated one portion to Allah the Almighty, one portion to his family, and one portion for himself. Then, he would even further divide his personal portion between himself and the people. And with this, through some selected companions, he conveyed religious teachings to the general public and would not hold anything from them. And during his life, division of his time for the Ummah was that, whilst granting permission for meetings, he would give preference to those among the people who possessed excellence and distinction, and they would be ranked in accordance with those whose faith was greater. Among them, some had one question, some had two, and some had many. He would remain occupied in answering their questions and upon their requests. He would engage in them in matters that would reform both themselves and the community at large. And he informed them of things that were beneficial for them and would say that those of you who are present should convey these matters to those who are absent, and convey to me the needs of those who are unable to present their needs themselves. Because whoever conveys the need of a person to a ruler when that person himself lacks the ability to do so, then Allah the Almighty will grant them steadfastness and resoluteness on the day of judgment. Thus, there is also a lesson in this for the office bearers appointed in various places, that they should certainly convey the needs of the people to the markaz, i.e. headquarters. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, would be asked about such matters, and he would not accept anyone else's testimony aside from theirs. People came to him as seekers, and they never returned empty-handed. Rather, they departed as guides for others towards righteousness. Hazrat Imam Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, I then asked my father about the conduct of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, outside of his home, what he would do during this time. He replied that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, would not speak except for a purposeful reason. He would create harmony and peace of heart among his companions and would never alienate them. He honored the respected person of every tribe and nation, and would appoint them as leaders over the people. He cautioned the people and would remain careful around them, yet without allowing this caution to affect his cheerfulness or good character towards them. In other words, that even when he warned others about someone or was cautious concerning a particular person, however, his outward conduct and graciousness towards that person did not change. Rather, he continued treating everyone with kindness and good manners. Although where caution was necessary, he exercised caution. He kept watch over his companions and asked people about the conditions of others. He praised good deeds and would help strengthen them, and he pointed out evil deeds and broke their influence. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was moderate in every matter and free from contradiction. He never became heedless, lest others should become heedless or exhausted. He remained prepared for every situation. He neither stepped back regarding what was right, nor exceeded the bounds. He did exactly as much as was his due right. Among people, those closest to him were the best among them. The most excellent in his sight was the one who was greatest in sincerity and kindness, and the one highest in rank near him was the one who showed the greatest sympathy and assistance towards others. The one highest in rank near him was the one who would do the most in terms of his sympathy and assistance towards others. And the person who would do this the most would be closest to him and he would like them. Hazrat Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, "But I then asked about the gatherings of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. To this he replied, whether sitting or standing, he remained engaged in the remembrance of Allah. And whenever he joined a gathering, he sat wherever there was space at the end of the assembly. And he instructed others to do the same. He gave every person sitting with him his due right, so much so that no one felt another person was more honored than him in his presence. Whoever sat with him regarding a need or a matter, he remained with that person until the person himself departed. And whoever asked him for something, he would never send them back without either receiving something or at least receiving a kind and gentle reply. If someone came seeking assistance, he either gave him something, or if unable to do so, then he answered them with great gentleness. His cheerfulness, generosity, and excellent character were for everyone. He became like a father to the people, and in matters of rights, all were equal in his sight. His gatherings were gatherings of knowledge, modesty, patience, and trustworthiness. Voices were not raised there, and sacred things were not dishonored, and the weaknesses of others were not discussed. Everyone was equal, and they would be ranked only on the basis of their level of righteousness, i.e. taqwa. The weaknesses of others would never be discussed in his gatherings. In his gatherings, people behaved towards one another with humility. They honored the elderly, showed mercy to the young, and gave preference to those in need, and took care of strangers as well. It was not the case that if an unfamiliar person came, he would be ignored. Rather, care was also shown towards him as well. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, states, "Those who are completely devoted to the pleasure of God do not desire for any rank or leadership to be bestowed upon them. Instead of such ranks, they greatly prefer the delights of seclusion and solitary worship. Yet, God Almighty forces them to the forefront and commissions them for the betterment of humanity. Our noble Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, would also remain in a cave and wished for no one to know about him. But ultimately, Allah the Almighty brought him forth and entrusted him with the burden of guiding the world. Thousands of poets would visit the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and compose verses in his praise. But cursed indeed is the heart that imagines that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, would become elated by their praise." In other words, that he became happy over this. He regarded such praises as no more than dead insects. For true praise is only that which God proclaims from the heavens. Such people are wholly absorbed in the love of God and have no concern whatsoever for the praise and adulation of the world. Their station becomes such that God himself praises and extols them from the heavens and from his throne. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, further states that a Christian once went to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, who showed him great kindness and hospitality. The man was extremely hungry, and the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, fed him abundantly to his complete fill. At night, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, graciously gave him his own quilt. When the man fell asleep, he suffered a severe bout of diarrhea and was unable to contain himself, causing him to relieve himself in the quilt. The next morning, he thought that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, would be disgusted upon seeing his condition. And so out of shame, he quietly departed. When the people noticed, they informed the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, that the Christian guest had soiled the quilt with excrement. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "Now bring it to me so that I will clean it." People submitted that, "O Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, why should you trouble yourself? For we are present and can clean it." However, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, replied that he was my guest, therefore it is my duty. And he then called for water and personally began washing the quilt himself. With the utmost humility, he cleaned the filth left by his guest. When the Christian had traveled about 2 miles away, he remembered that he had forgotten his golden cross upon the bed. He therefore returned only to find the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, personally washing the filth from the quilt. And so, overcome with remorse, he said that had this happened to me, I would never have washed it myself. As a result, the Christian man realized that a person possessing such selflessness and humility must certainly be commissioned by Allah the Almighty. And thus, As a result of witnessing this, the Christian man accepted Islam. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him's humility and meekness, were also exhibited even at the time when he received his first revelation. Hazrat Muslim Maud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, whilst describing the incident at the cave of Hira, states that the very first revelation descended in the cave of Hira when Jibreel appeared before the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and said, "Read, ay Iqra." In response, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "Ma ana biqarin," that I do not know how to read. By this, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, meant that such a burden should not be placed upon him. This does not mean that a book was placed before the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, from which he was unable to read. Rather, whatever Jibreel conveyed was to be repeated verbally by the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. And this was something which he was certainly capable of doing. Yet the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, expressed humility. However, since Allah the Almighty had specifically chosen him for this task, Jibreel repeatedly instructed him to read. Finally, upon the third command, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, recited. And thus, Jibreel taught him the verse, "Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq," that read in the name of thy Lord who created. At another instance, with regards to the same incident, Hazrat Muslim Maud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu writes in Tafsir al-Kabir, whilst explaining Surah Kawthar, that when the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, received divine revelation, he demonstrated extraordinary humility. We observe that if ordinary people receive a revelation or see a dream, they hastily run to others and proclaim that I have received such and such revelation, or I have seen such and such dream. But when Jibreel came to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and said, "Read, ay Iqra," he replied, "Ma ana biqarin," that I do not know how to read. He repeated this 3 times, but when he realized that Allah the Almighty was insisting upon this matter, he obeyed the command. And indeed, he obeyed it with such courage that unlike Moses alayhi salam, he did not say, "And my Lord, appoint for me a helper." Rather, he shouldered the entire burden alone and did not request for a companion to assist him. Hazrat Muslim Maud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu further states, another example of his humility is that one day a man from among the Ansar fell ill, and the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, went to visit him. As the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, was departing, the man from the Ansar gave the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, a horse to ride and instructed his son that go with the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him. Perhaps he may find it difficult to find another companion on the way, meaning he may not find another travel companion, and also bring the horse back afterwards. After a short while, the boy returned home, and his father asked that I sent you with the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, so that you could accompany him on the journey and ensure his safety and that the horse remained tame. Why have you returned? The boy replied that I was compelled to return. When the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, came outside, he said to me that sit behind me upon the horse. I replied that, O Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, I cannot commit such disrespect. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, then said, then I also cannot bear that you should walk while I ride upon the horse. So either you ride with me or else return home. The boy said that therefore I consider it better to return home, and the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, rode on alone. Then there is another narration in which Hazrat Abdullah relates that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, once slept on a reed mat. When he arose, marks from the mat were visible upon his side. We submitted, O Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, allow us to prepare soft bedding for you. Upon this, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, replied, what have I to do with this world? My example in this world is merely of that of a traveller who rests beneath the shade of a tree for a while and then departs, leaving it behind. In Sahih al-Bukhari, there is a narration relayed by Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu who states, once I went to meet the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. He was in an upper room, reclining upon a woven mat. There was nothing between him and the mat, and beneath his head was a leather pillow stuffed with date palm fiber. and near his feet was a pile of acacia leaves, and near his head some untanned leather skins were hanging. I could also see the marks of the mat upon his blessed side. In other words, due to the hard mat he was laying on. And so, upon witnessing this, I began to weep. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, asked, "And why are you crying?" I replied, "O Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, Chosroes and Caesar live in great luxury, while you are the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him." The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, responded, "Are you not pleased that for them is this world, whilst for us is the hereafter?" The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, whilst recounting this very incident, says, "As such was the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him's contentment in his worldly provisions, that on one occasion, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu went to visit him, sending a boy ahead to seek permission to enter. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was lying upon a mat of palm leaves. And when Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu came in, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, sat up. Hazrat Umar looked around and found the house entirely bare, with nothing in it by way of adornment, only a sword hanging from a peg, and that mat upon which the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, had been lying, the marks of which were imprinted upon his blessed back. At the sight of this, Hazrat Umar wept, and the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, asked, 'O Umar, what has made you weep?' He submitted, 'Chosroes and Caesar have all the comforts and luxuries of the world, while you, who are the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, and the King of both worlds, live in such a condition.' The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, replied, 'O Umar, what have I to do with this world? I pass through it as a traveller who journeys on camelback towards his destination, and finding along the desert road a tree, sits for a while in its shade on account of the fierce heat, and the moment his perspiration has barely dried, moves on again. Even with ill-mannered people, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, always displayed the finest qualities of gentleness and humility. It is narrated by Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu that a man came to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, to claim what was owed to him, and did so in a harsh and abrasive tone. The companions were angered by this, but the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said that, "Leave him, for one who is owed a right has the right to speak his mind, and I must give him what is owed regardless." In other words, he has the right to express this. He then said, "Buy him a camel and give it to him." He had come to collect his debt, and so they were instructed to purchase a camel and give it to him. The companion said that, "We could not find a camel of equal value to what is owed. Only one of greater value is available." The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, replied that, "Then buy that one and give it to him, for the best among you is the one who is best in repaying debts." Now, in many of the disputes that arise today, people will not even pay the original amount that is owed, and will instead quarrel and demand that even that be reduced. If we could only truly understand these things, a great many of our disputes would come to an end. Similarly, another instance of his humility is found in the account of the conquest of Makkah, when the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, entered the sacred mosque. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu came before him bringing his father. When the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, saw him, he said that, "O Abu Bakr, you should have left this elderly man at home. I would have come to him myself." Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu submitted that, "O Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, it is more fitting that he should come to you than that you should go to him." Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu then seated his father before the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, who passed his hand over his chest and said that, "Accept Islam and you shall enter into peace." And so Abu Quhafa accepted Islam. Similarly, regarding his simple manner of living at home, it is narrated on the authority of Hazrat Hassan that the doors of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, were open to all. No gatekeeper stood at his door, nor were elaborate meals served to him morning and evening in large vessels, and no fine food was presented to him. Whoever wished to meet the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, could do so with ease. He would sit upon the ground and place his food on the ground as well. He wore simple, coarse garments, rode upon a donkey, would seat others behind him on his mount, and after eating, would lick his fingers clean. With regards to the matter of licking one's fingers, there is a hadith in Bukhari in which the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said that after eating, before washing one's hands, one should lick one's fingers clean. Regarding this practice, Hazrat Zainul Abideen Waliullah Shah Sahib has recorded a note in his commentary on Bukhari, in which Hazrat Sayyid Dr. Mir Muhammad Ismail Sahib states that it is a matter established by the experience of all physicians and agreed upon by all practitioners of medicine, that there is a particular power of touch concentrated in the fingers of the human hand. If, for example, one wishes to gauge the softness of a fabric, it cannot be assessed except through the fingers, even though the sense of touch is present throughout the entire body. If one were to try gauging softness with the foot, for instance, one would not fully be successful. There is a particular electrical quality that is confined not merely to the hand, but to the fingers specifically. And the fingers have a special connection to the eye, which is an instrument of focused attention. This is why those who practice focused concentration direct their gaze primarily at the fingers of the subject upon whom they are working, and are able through this means to exert the influences of mesmerism most effectively, and thereby achieve their purpose. Likewise, medicines prepared by hand yield greater benefit than those prepared otherwise. In our times, everything is manufactured by machines, but in those days, physicians and practitioners of medicine alike held this view, and Dr. Ismail Sahib was himself a very highly educated surgeon and physician, and he stated that such practices are of greater benefit than those medicines prepared by machines. In accordance with the same principle, when a person eats with his fingers, his eyes fall upon the tips of those fingers with each morsel taken. And so, when after eating a person licks his fingers before washing or wiping them, it is evident that whatever fat has attached to them is carried directly into the stomach, thereby strengthening its function, that is, the process of digestion, so that the food is digested more readily. This was the view held by physicians and practitioners of that era. Now, whether doctors today would agree or disagree is another matter. But in any case, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said that there is benefit in licking what remains on the hand after eating. The narration in Bukhari states that one should not wipe his hand until he has licked it himself or has had it licked. Now, in relation to this, some commentators, regarding this phrase of having it licked, have written that this means that having one's servant lick it, or one's son or someone who would not find the licking of fingers distasteful. Now, one who has been eating has no need for that, for he can perfectly well lick his own fingers. Commentators at times arrive at rather far-fetched conclusions. In any case, such an interpretation is unseemly and contrary to human dignity, that one should ask another person to lick one's fingers. What it can reasonably mean is that a person should, after eating, lick his own fingers, clean himself, and should also instruct those in his care and under his guardianship to do likewise with their own fingers, so that they too may obtain those medical benefits and other purposes that are contained within this guidance of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, never considered even the work of cleaning and dusting the mosque to be beneath him. Thus, there is a narration from Hazrat Yaqub bin Zaid that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, used to wipe away the dust and dirt that gathered in the mosque with a stick. In other words, perhaps it means that a cloth or something similar would be attached at the end of the stick, and he would use it for dusting and cleaning. Hazrat Hazrat Abu Huraira relates that Jibreel was sitting with the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. When the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, looked towards the sky and saw an angel descending. Upon this, Jibreel said that this is an angel who from the day of his creation until this very moment has never descended before. When the angel descended, he said, O Muhammad, peace be upon him, your Lord has sent me to you. Allah the Almighty asks whether he should make you a king prophet or a servant messenger. Jibreel said, O Muhammad, peace be upon him, adopt humility before your Lord. Thereupon, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said that very well, I would prefer to be sent as a servant messenger. Indeed, this was the very nature of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. And even if Jibreel had not said this, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, would still have given the same reply. This is what he always taught and what he continually instructed. He also taught his followers that I am but a man sent as a messenger. Nonetheless, the purport of this narration is that when such an occasion arose, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, out of his humility declared that he did not wish to be a messenger with the status of a king. Rather, he desired to be Allah's humble servant, a humble human being, and his messenger. This very principle is also mentioned in our declaration of faith. To what extent must a true Muslim adopt humility? In one narration, Hazrat Ayaz bin Himar relates that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said, Surely Allah the Almighty has revealed to me that you should adopt humility to such an extent that no one should transgress against each other, nor should anyone boast over another. Then, whilst counseling us, the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, the true servant of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, states, one ought to adopt humility. Learning humility is not something difficult. Indeed, what is there to learn in it? Man himself is humble by nature, and it is for humility that he has been created. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ That is, I have not created the jinn and mankind except that they may worship me. Pride and arrogance are all artificial things. If a person casts off this artificiality, then humility alone will become manifest in his nature. Then, whilst advising us and explaining the station of humility of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, states at one place, Allah the Almighty is most merciful and munificent. He nurtures man in every way and has mercy on him. And it is on account of this very mercy that he sends his appointees and messengers to deliver the people of the world from sinful life. But arrogance is a very dangerous disease. It means spiritual death for the person in whom it develops. I know for sure that this disease is worse than murder. An arrogant person becomes the brother of Satan because it was indeed arrogance that humiliated and ruined Satan. This is why it is a requirement for a believer that there should be no arrogance in him. Rather, he ought to have humility, humbleness, and meekness. And this is the distinctive nature of God's appointees. They possess an extreme degree of humility and meekness. The Prophet, may peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, possessed this virtue more than anyone else. One of his servants was asked how the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, dealt with him. And he replied that the truth is that he served me more than I served him. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. This is the standard of the highest morality and meekness. And this point is also true that most of those who serve someone are from among their loved ones who are around them all the time. Therefore, if one wants to see the level of humility and meekness, patience and forbearance of someone, then it can be best ascertained from them. Some men or women are such that at the slightest mistake of the servant, if, for example, there was some defect in the way the tea was made, they immediately start to verbally abuse the servant or start beating him with a whip. Or if there was a slight excess of salt in the broth, it spells disaster for the poor servants. And the other occasion is in their dealings with the poor. They do not care about the poor, despite knowing that they are starving and surviving only on dry bread. They put them to the test when they come seeking help. In other words, when a poor person comes to a wealthy person asking for help, they are in fact being placed in a trial, i.e. the rich. And true piety at the time is to fulfill their needs. God Almighty is the creator of every particle, and no one can compete with Him. Only through the treatment of the poor can it be known how God-fearing or non-God-fearing one is. In other words, how God-fearing someone is can only be ascertained in terms of their treatment of the poor, not in how they treat the rich. May Allah the Almighty enable us to adopt the paths of humility by following the teachings of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and by acting in accordance with his blessed Sunnah. After the prayer, I shall also lead a funeral prayer in absentia for respected Malik Dawood Mahmood Sahib, son of Muhammad Ishaq Sahib. He was originally from Vihari and later residing in Karachi. He recently passed away. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Surely to Allah we belong and to him shall we return. By the grace of Allah the Almighty, he was a Musi. His grandfather, Muhammad Deen Sahib, was a resident of the village Bartanwala in the district of Sialkot. In 1914, he had the honor of taking the bath at the hand of Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Malik Dawood Sahib had the opportunity to serve the Jamaat locally as Sadr Jamaat, Secretary Mal, and also in Majlis Ansarullah. He is survived by 3 daughters and 4 sons. One of his sons, Muhammad Akmal Sahib, is serving as a missionary of the Jamaat in the Gambia. And owing to being engaged in the field of service, he was unable to attend his father's funeral. His son, Akmal Sahib, who is a missionary, writes that my father was a very cheerful, warm-hearted and lively person. He had a great passion for tabligh. And whenever he visited his agricultural lands in Sindh, he would look for opportunities for tabligh. Until restrictive laws were enacted in Pakistan, he would even carry pamphlets with him and would continue preaching regularly. And as a result of this, he greatly influenced many people. He was exceedingly hospitable. And whether guests were from the Markaz or any other visitors came, he would honor them with great hospitality. In his home, he had established a Salat Center until a formal Salat Center was built, and regular congregational prayers would be held there. After the Fajr prayer, he says that he would recite the Holy Quran in a loud and melodious voice. People from other Jamaats nearby would also come to his Salat Center to offer the Friday prayers. He would often say that whenever he went to his fields, he would offer voluntary prayers in every corner of his land. And because of this, Allah the Almighty would bless his crops, resulting in yields twice as abundant as those of others. Likewise, regarding the house he built in his village, he told his children that he wished to dedicate it permanently to the Jamaat so that it could become a Jamaat center, and subsequently he indeed donated it. Hospitality was one of his most outstanding qualities, alongside serving humanity and complete obedience to the Jamaat and regularly listening to the Friday sermons. May Allah the Almighty grant him his forgiveness and mercy.
Alhamdulillah, na'uduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله ان الله يامر بالعدل واللسان وايتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ